time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Hey, hey, happy Monday. I'm Vanessa Richardson. We got Paul Gallant, as always. We got Sean Mapes behind the glass. Did you guys have a good weekend?
Yeah, I did.
Weekend vibes.
I mean, I didn't do what I said I was going to do on the weekend, which was to take it easy. But yeah, it was a good weekend all in all. And then I came into the studio this morning and I just walked into the giant light that we have right in front of us and fell to the floor. Did I have a concussion? No. Did I look perhaps like I was flopping as if I were Chris Paul or Steph Curry from time to time in this NBA Finals series? Marcus Smart on the other side of things. Yes. How was your weekend?
Paul did this really cute thing on Friday where he said he wasn't going to go out and where he was going to stay in all weekend and not drink. And I called BS on it in a loving way. And how did that go for you?
I went out on Friday, Saturday, and then I almost didn't go out on Sunday and I did again. So, but hey, you were doing pre and post for the Houston Astros, and they lost the series.
They did lose the series.
Now 3-3 on the year when you do pre and post.
He's the one keeping score, so I'm at 500.
Yep. That's not acceptable for the Houston Astros.
It is not acceptable for them. Hopefully, when I do the weekend series, the 4th of July weekend, that number will improve. But here's the thing. We talk about the Astros. We talk about how long of a season it is. This was going to be their first sweep of the season if they got swept by the Miami Marlins.
Yeah, and I'm watching the game on Friday. I went to Bottled Blonde, which is not a place I'm a fan of.
Wait, so you went out Friday and Saturday?
I mean Sunday, my bad.
Oh.
Sunday. Yeah, I went out all 3 days of the weekend.
Wait,
anyway,
did you really?
Yeah, I didn't want
to. See, this is new information
Easy to peer pressure. But anyway, we were watching the game, and the Astros were up 5-0 and thinking to ourselves, oh yeah, this one's going to be easy. Then all of a sudden, we look up, and it's 5-4. And I was thinking to myself, are they really going to get swept by the Miami Marlins and Jazz Chisholm, who has blue hair?
Jazz Chisholm, whose hair looks like, what, like maybe Sour Patch gummies at the end?
Yes.
Now, he is from the Bahamas, so it could be a cultural thing.
It's a big Bahamas thing, blue hair, yeah.
No, I think that like having interesting
hair. Just like Portland
hair,
and Seattle.
But he was very, very bold. And as Dusty Baker had said, this is a young, bold, talented Marlins team, and
you're being polite about it. I honestly look at Jazz Chisholm, and with that first at bat on Sunday where he's getting mad at strike calls right down the middle of the plate, I was like, yeah, this guy's making me feel like I'm 53 years old. I could not stand
because
him.
He's the kid. He's like one of the kids.
I look, you're hitting what, like 260, 270? Can we relax about like being this like really cocky player that apparently created a players only meeting with the Miami Marlins, where they griped about Jazz Chisholm? Like, the whole meeting was about how the older players didn't vibe with him. I don't vibe with Jazz Chisholm.
Jazz,
I was going to say
Chisholm.
Jazz. I can't say, yeah.
So
I did not say that.
It does sound like Jazz, but it is Jazz Chisholm Jr., technically.
Don't get dyslexic with that one.
So Sunday, the Astros are ahead 5-4 after losing that massive lead. Justin Verlander gave up a home run. But who would come in and save the day? Jose Altuve with a 3-run bomb.
Altuve drives one deep to left field. That ball's gone. Home run. 3-run shot for Altuve. And the Astros turn a 1-run game into an 8-4 lead.
Outstanding, TK.
So final score would be 9-4. But this is the vintage Altuve that we love. And listen, this was not a great series for the Astros. They left a million runners stranded, it seemed like. Yeah. A lot of runners left in scoring position. But when you talk about the Astros, they always make it work. That's the reputation of this team the last couple years. Somebody steps up when they need a big home run, when they need a big play, and they make it. And we saw that from Altuve. I thought it was a nice way for the Astros to look like themselves before they head to Arlington.
I agree. It's definitely a nice shot of confidence in the arm, and we also got an update on Jake Odorizzi and on Lance McCullers and their status as far as returning. But I did want to focus on an interesting clip from Dusty Baker, and sadly, we can't play it because there was like a helicopter in the background
Sean. So where was this sound gathered?
Mark Berman tweeted it out.
Yes. Oh, and so, I think he was at the filming of Top Gun 2, and they're firing up the jet engine.
No, I mean, this couldn't have been in the clubhouse.
Yeah, Fast and Furious 10.
So I'm wondering where it would have been.
There's a lot of family in the background, and by family, I mean the revving of a motor. But whatever the case, Dusty Baker, when asked about, hey, maybe changing the lineup, said this: that's why I'm not tearing the lineup up. I've got as much confidence in them, probably even more than they do. There's going to come a time where I might not wait anymore, but I think I've been patient. I believe in these guys. It's different if you don't have a track record. The Astros obviously have a track record. But I did find it interesting that he said, there's going to come a time where I might not wait anymore. And I'm curious as to what that time would be, given the Astros don't really have another threat in the American League West. I mean, shoot, I think there's another team that's lost 10 games in a row in their division. The Angels did that already. Yeah, Seattle's been annoying, but they're pretty far back. I think the A's lost 10 in a row or something like that. So you have, in your division, no one that's really coming close to challenging you. Do you change up your lineup maybe a couple of weeks from now, say against the Mets and against the Yankees, you don't hit in those two series, those three series? Maybe that's the target date. I still, though, I'm going to keep on saying it. You know, it's been a problem, and shuffling the lineup might help a little bit, Vanessa, but I do think it's more going to be about, you got to find yourself, at the very least, a first baseman, if not a first baseman, and maybe, I don't know, another infielder that can give Bregman a couple of days off in there as well.
One of the things a lot of people have mentioned is taking Bregman out of that three hole. Jeff Bagwell was on the broadcast this weekend because Blummer was off. And the theme of yesterday's broadcast was the art of hitting. And if you watch, it was actually really cool because Bagwell is the perfect person to have on talking about hitting.
Yeah.
But he talked about the fact that Bregman still has good judgment at the plate. And he's still getting hits. He's just not powering through. So how patient do you think Dusty Baker will be as Bregman? Yes, he's hitting well. Yes, he has good judgment. It's not maybe as much of a disaster as some people think, but he's not powering through and he's not finishing.
That's interesting, because if the guy's being patient, then he's doing all the right things. So I think if the results are bad when the approach is good, then, yeah, you could talk.
Eventually have to move him.
Yeah. Right now, like, he's just not what he was. And I suppose he can be that guy again. But sometimes he's, you know, you have a couple injuries and that's it. So it's not killing you right now. Again, there's so much season left. And he could, and I hope he does, figure things out. But right now, something's up. And if Jeff Bagwell's saying, like, hey, the approach at the plate looks correct, and yet the results are what they are, well, you are what your results are, even if your approach is the correct one.
Bregman missed a home run by a couple feet yesterday. He did have that one out to the foul.
Yeah, he did go 2-for-4. Like, you know, it's not like,
yeah,
it wasn't
a bad day.
But at the same time, too, you know, you just look at the numbers in totality, and to see that Bregman's slugging .382, and I mean, he's in that spot.
And he's still young. This isn't like, you know, one of the guys that's older that you think, okay, maybe he's falling off. He needs to produce for sure. McCullers and Odorizzi, we're hoping, will produce soon. McCullers, of course, coming off of surgery. And then Odorizzi, I always have to remind myself, it is an ankle injury that he injured covering first in Boston a few weeks ago when he was dramatically stretched off the field in a medical-type manner.
No, his leg, Vanessa, it was detached from his torso, okay?
It was very dramatic.
They had a priest in Boston actually give him his last rites.
Yeah. Oh, they have priests in Boston, all right.
Whoa,
but,
hey.
Hello. But Odor, yeah, so Odor.
Jeez, Vanessa, it's Monday. Let's keep it a little lighter, John.
Odorizzi is still recovering and was able to get some work in yesterday. He and Lance McCullers both. No exact timeline for either one of them. Odorizzi, we expect to be back soon.
Sean, we do have Lance McCullers talking about it. Okay, because Lance McCullers talking about his injury is honestly just fascinating. It's a fascinating listen, because I just feel so confused about his recovery time. He always sounds so optimistic, and yet whenever I hear him talk...
He sounded optimistic in the ALCS, by the way.
True.
Do you remember in the ALCS when he literally said, I think I could be back for the World Series, and Astros fans were like, yeah!
And then he wasn't. And then you hear him talking about it now, and he sounds positive and optimistic about, you know, the recovery time. But when you listen, you're like, wait a second.
What does any of that mean?
This is still a long way away, isn't it? Here's Lance McCullers.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're really tried to hone in kind of like a off-season program, kind of how it would progress in the off-season, and kind of stick to that. And we're being a little bit more conservative just because of coming off the injury, but this would be about the time that I would be, like, right before getting to camp. So I would start working on the breaking ball, things like that. So, you know, it'll be good to throw curveballs, and then if that goes well, we'll start throwing the sliders a little bit a couple weeks from now.
So what I hear is, okay, at some point I'll be able to throw curveballs, and a couple of weeks after that I'll be able to throw sliders. And now I'm just thinking to myself, okay, he's not going to be back before July. He's not going to be back probably until August. If that's the timeline that we're hearing, I mean, I love that we were in February a couple of weeks ago. So every single time that you hear him talk, and look, I'm not going to dump on him for his actual, I hope that he is as 100% as he possibly can be and that they take their time with it. I just know that every single time, Vanessa, that I hear Lance McCullers talk about his injury, I am just completely confused. What is the timeline? The timeline's almost been a year.
Well, I think that when you take inventory, too, of how the Astros deal with injuries, they're always super private about it.
Yeah, that's
but,
true.
But to your point, I mean, this is beyond private. This is just confusing.
Yeah.
And there are words being thrown around that we hope lead to optimism. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, a Houston detective weighs in on the Deshaun Watson situation. Mm. Plus, we ask you, what's the worst advice you've ever been given? That's next.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, we are rolling along on a Monday. Not a lot of new news on the Deshaun Watson front, other than, and we'll be talking about this throughout the show, some Cleveland Browns fans think that they should get a refund if things don't work out with Deshaun Watson, as if there's a, like, lemon law attached here, but that's not how it works.
So is this for season tickets? Is this for
Yes.
Bets?
It's for everything from the picks.
Okay.
Which, to me, Deshaun Watson was what the move that Browns made was high risk, potentially high reward.
Yeah.
But it may not be high reward. That's where the risk comes in,
right,
y'all.
I think it is pretty funny that they're asking for the draft picks back. What, like there's a warranty here or something like that? No, this is the Wild West. This is like selling something online. And yeah, maybe the Browns just bought a box that was labeled as PlayStation 5.
Right.
But it was just the box for the PlayStation 5.
It's a great analogy.
Something that's actually been happening over the last couple of years. People are buying boxes that they think have a PlayStation 5 in them, even though in the fine print on the website it says, this is just the box. There is no PlayStation inside. Maybe they should be wise to the idea that, you know, it's like $100 as opposed to whatever PlayStation 5 costs.
Let's use our critical thinking skills here, people. All right, USA Today reported that Detective Kamisha Baker of the Houston Police Department said under oath that she shared an opinion with the Office of the Harris County District Attorney. She doesn't know why the grand jury opted not to indict Watson, and she testified that she thinks Watson committed criminal indecent assault, sexual assault, and prostitution. She got the question, did you feel confident that you had evidence needed to pursue those charges? She said yes. It's kind of random, but I guess they do this where they bring in detectives to testify on whether or not they thought that somebody should be pursued
and
committed crimes.
Back to some of the, I guess, reports that we were hearing about how Houston police officers believed that the majority of the alleged victims had credible stories. And this is consistent with that. Now, what's really strange, too, and I'm just going to keep on saying this to the many people out there. There's enough of you out there where you need to have this just beaten over your head to get all the dumb out. But the grand jury only spoke to one of five victims who were present for that grand jury hearing. And guess who else was there? Baker, this detective. She didn't testify there either. And what's really bizarre is that Rusty Hardin, I guess since he would have objections to this detective testifying at the grand jury, she didn't speak, which makes me really just continue to question, how does our legal system work and why is it so weird? Whatever the case, I mean, it's just more smoke that we've all been seeing for a really long time about how Watson probably did some very horrible things, and yet he, because of the way that our legal system works and because you need to be proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, that he is going to get off at least criminally scot-free. But yeah, we'll see what the NFL does. Especially, Vanessa, you saw this. I guess the odds have changed for the Browns this year.
The odds have changed, yes. Pat McAfee had brought this up, and FanDuel, obviously one of the most legit gambling sites / apps in the game, tweeted the new AFC North odds. This is per FanDuel. It's now Ravens plus 160, Bengals plus 200, Browns plus 270, Steelers plus 850. It was Ravens plus 200, Browns 200. So the Ravens and the Browns had the same amount of odds. Bengals were plus 210, Steelers 850. And what Pat McAfee quote tweeted, and here's the thing, he's probably only half joking when he says this, is their news coming, question mark, Browns odds changed mightily. We saw this before Ben Roethlisberger, before it was announced that he had COVID one weekend, the Steelers' odds had changed.
Yeah.
Okay, so like the doctor, the team doctors are even connected to Vegas. Mm-hmm. Vegas knows everything. I'm convinced that they are, let me put my tinfoil hat on. I'm convinced they're like tapped into phones and that they're watching our, it's not the government and it's not Al-Qaeda, it's Vegas, okay? You heard it here Whoa. First. So they must know something.
That's where all the barrels are buried, mm-hmm. with the bodies. Mm-hmm. Murder's mean.
Murder is very mean, but first. Vegas is doing it. You heard it here that you should not murder. But this is actually a good point by Pat McAfee. So there could be news coming if we believe that Vegas knows all.
And I am with you. The inside information that happens there, just like with insider trading, I mean, there's also insider gambling.
Yeah, Martha Stewart, am I right?
Yeah.
Mary Kay Cabot of the Cleveland Browns, or excuse me, of the Cleveland Plain Dealer. She covers the Browns.
Plain Dealer is such a weird name for a newspaper, by the way.
I always see it and I'm like, is that a grocery store?
Yeah.
The Plain Dealer.
Hey, I'm a dealer on the Great Plains in the midst of the cornfield. I have a newspaper for you, see?
Shouldn't it be like the Cleveland Chronicle? I don't get it. Meanwhile, she reports that the Browns remain all in on Watson. Now, this may sound obvious, but there were some reports and some speculation that they were going to look to maybe void his contract or undo the trade. Why people would start a rumor that you can undo a trade, I don't know. I've never heard of that. The trade is official. The physical has been done, and he had guaranteed money. But she reported that they are all in on Deshaun Watson.
All right. Well, they have no choice but to be all in on Deshaun Watson. I don't think they have any. You know, as we were talking about earlier, it would be really funny if they called the Texans. They're like, hey, so we're having some last second questions about this. Is it possible that you would take Deshaun Watson back? You give us our picks back? Could you do that for us? That would be great. And again, Caserio deserves a ton of credit for getting this done. Because imagine if they had not gotten this done, and now all of a sudden this blood would be upon the Texans' hands, and they would not be able to get rid of it in any way, shape, or form.
When you look back on how patient Nick Caserio was, not only with the Houston Police Department mm-hmm. and PR and dealing with the Jack Easterby situation and all of that, but how patient he was with Deshaun.
Yeah.
I'm guessing Deshaun and his, maybe not even Deshaun, some of his folks may not be the easiest people to deal with. We know David Mulugeta has put teams through the ringer financially when he's doing, which is his job. I mean, he's a great agent. Nick Caserio had those teams, you know, he told Deshaun, pick the 5, 6, 7 teams you would go to. Here are the teams that are interested. It ended up being 5, including the Colts. Caserio obviously said the Colts are out. When you look at how patient he was with Deshaun specifically, I think that that's going to be a mark, you know, of success for him in the future.
And I think he played it in a way where, imagine if Watson only wanted to go to one team and how that would just completely destroy whatever, I would imagine, leverage that the Texans actually would have trading him. It's sort of to the same degree what happened with the Rockets and James Harden, you know? It would have been like that, where Harden's like, I want to go to the Nets, so make it happen. And he didn't want to play for any other team. So if you don't want to play for any other team, you can only trade with one team, and that team doesn't have to offer that much.
Go ahead.
No, so anyway, they're lucky that it wasn't like that, but I think the way that Caserio played it, where he said, hey, you have your pick of teams, and we'll figure out the best offer, it was a nice way to meet in the middle, and Watson actually agreed to it.
I start walking your way. You know that meet in the middle song? Diamond Rio? No?
Okay. No. Well, you're asking me about music, so of course
country.
I know about it.
It's a great song.
What about Meet Me Halfway by the Black Eyed Peas?
Ooh, I know that one.
I know that one, too. All right, so somebody that covers the NFL closely, Peter King, his Football Morning in America segment today featured...
Just think about Fergie singing the national anthem now. Sorry, anyway, continue.
Speech. That's a great
video. I want Fergie to give me a commencement speech.
Oh, can you imagine?
If the rat gets fat...
Look what you started, Sean. Are you proud of yourself?
Sorry, I would like to apologize to all of our listeners and to you, Vanessa.
I would like to apologize for my ADD.
Football Morning in America featured graduation speeches Peter King wrote about. Lewis Riddick had one where he encouraged people to, quote, bet on yourself. Taylor Swift's said, I have some good news. It's totally up to you. I have some terrifying news. It's totally up to you,
wow.
Which is the most Taylor Swift graduation speech ever. Kamala Harris, Tim Tebow.
Big blank space.
And I'll write your name. Hey, am I right? So with all of this talk about graduation speeches, I thought it would be good to ask our listeners, what's the worst advice you've ever gotten?
God.
And it can be career advice, financial advice, sex advice, life advice. Mm-hmm. It can be anything. What is the worst advice? We've already gotten some responses from our listeners. Follow your heart. It never works out. It's a little depressing, but I respect you.
It can, but you have to follow it in a very intelligent manner. I think you can follow your heart, and it can work out.
I like the quote, follow your heart, but take your brain with you.
Oh.
I like that one.
Yeah.
Invest in Blockbuster, says one listener. Yeah, that probably wasn't.
Well, if you're shorting Blockbuster.
At the time,
you know,
Blockbuster was huge.
And if you did in like the 90s, that's great advice.
Right.
It seemed like a couple of months ago that investing in GameStop or Blockbuster to take advantage of how dumb our stock system is would
like
have been great.
18 months ago.
Right. Except, well, hey, whatever. Still current, but you know, you got like Robin Hood who's stepping in the way, being anti-capitalist commies. The worst advice that I've ever received. Oh, definitely. 2 years ago when I was told to not say anything in the wake of being the center of a national media firestorm. That 100%. When I said chill dog, I was advised to not say anything and to just whatever. I should have rolled into it and rode that to infamy, baby.
Leaned in.
Oh, 100%. I still have regrets about that because now no one cares anymore. But yeah, I could have used those 15 minutes of fame and become something big. And I was advised not to. And guess what those people did with me? The people that advised me, that they took me out back, shot me in the head.
Wow.
Figuratively.
Thank God you're still here, Sean.
Of course,
what's
yes.
the worst advice you've ever been given?
This is actually really hard because I think I don't listen to advice very often because nothing comes
good job.
To mind.
There you go.
Really.
You should change that. That's my advice.
Yeah. I don't know if I love that advice. Yeah, no. Oh, man. There's one that I thought of and I just forgot. Hold on.
Okay. I'll give you mine.
Come back to me.
Mine was, here's the thing. I'm very all in or all out. Like I either do something big or I don't do it at all. So I was told repeatedly when I lived in Cincinnati right out of college that I should get a credit card because it would help my credit. It would, you know, help me build up whatever, my financial portfolio. I am not the kind of person that should have a lot of credit cards.
Oh.
It's not that the funny thing is I'm not materialistic. So it's not like I'm out buying a lot of expensive things. But I started, it was just easier than carrying cash. So groceries, car payment, I would just put it all on my credit card.
Yep.
And I was not financially literate. Getting a credit card was the worst advice I was ever. Now, for the right person, having credit cards is probably great. I am not the kind of person that should have a credit card.
I'm actually on the same boat as you on that one.
I just got out of debt a couple months ago. And
good for you.
Like was a physical weight off my
shoulders. Yeah, it's the most stressful thing ever when you're like, oh, okay. Oh, and the economy's getting worse on top of that. Great. Do you remember who you had for your commencement speaker? We had some guy at CUSE, and I remember like did not want to show up for it. I was as hungover as I've ever been in my whole life. It's like our last day of college, of course we're going to like get absolutely you know what. And I woke up and they drag us out, and this guy who I guess cracked the human genome gave a speech where he said, yeah, so you guys are honestly ruining the earth and you need to fix it. So, like, he basically said, like, yeah, like the world's going to, you know, die. Like, it was basically like one of those like global warming scare tactic deals or something.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, could we have gotten, I don't know, someone who's not boring, some boring nerd? Why can't we get one of the many broadcasters who went to Syracuse? Why couldn't we get
Mike Tirico?
Aaron Sorkin spoke the next year.
I mean, they got him. We got this nerd who, and we're a broadcasting school.
Speaking of commencement speeches, do you know who gave the Texas commencement speech a couple weeks ago?
Vince Young.
Our boy, Emmanuel Acho.
Oh, hell yeah. That was
one play tray. 2662 says, sure, relatively new dad meaning. Here. My father-in-law tried to advise me that your kids need to fear you. He traumatized his two kids, and I shall model my parent in direct contrast to him.
Wow.
Love the show. Thank you, 2662, and good for you for showing your kids love instead of traumatizing them. We love to see that. All right, coming up on Vanessa
and Gallant.
Can't be
fun to traumatize them occasionally, though.
Don't do that. NFL season, 88 days away. Who's your favorite number 88 to ever wear that jersey? Plus, we're talking Tyreek on Tua versus Mahomes. Is there even a comparison? That's next.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, we're rolling along on a Monday. We're talking, we asked in the last segment, what's the worst advice you've ever been given in honor of the graduation speeches? I said getting a credit card was just not good for me personally. And we've had a lot of people chime in. Somebody said investing in Blockbuster was not a good decision. Yeah, probably not at the time. But yeah.
It could have been, at one point, a good idea.
Yeah.
I would imagine, like, when it first started, if you got in on the ground floor of Blockbuster. Ooh.
It's like Apple, like anything.
Hell
when it first
to
starts.
The yeah.
88 days, guys, until the regular season kicks off for the NFL.
Hell
we're doing
yeah.
the math here, and we're counting it down every day on Vanessa and Gallant. In honor of 88 days, Paul, what do you have for our number 88? This one, you got a lot of options.
So you have two loud Cowboys. You have Michael Irvin. You have Drew Pearson, who caught the first ever Hail Mary touchdown against the Minnesota Vikings back in the day. And you also have your guy, and who should be my guy, because he did go to my alma mater.
He did.
But
Marvin Harrison.
Yeah, Marvin Harrison played for those little Colts teams that would get mad about, you know, getting jammed at the line of scrimmage and got Bill Pulley into wine and changed the rules. So Harrison, not the biggest fan of, but I would never say that publicly because, like, he's not one to be trifled with.
No,
allegedly.
I actually would never say anything negative to Marvin Harrison ever.
Great receiver.
I have a feeling that...
Really good.
That if he were around...
He has a great car wash, too.
Social media age that things would have been a little bit different, for sure. But 88 days until the NFL season kicks off, the regular season. Of course, we have mini camp and training camp that we'll be bringing you all the coverage of as well. Tyreek Hill recently moved to the Miami Dolphins, and he's made no bones about it that he is extremely excited to play in Miami with Mike McDaniel. Frank Smith is his offensive coordinator, and then that new quarterback that he'll have, new to him at least, Tua Tagovailoa. Here's Tyreek Hill on a podcast on Tua Tagovailoa.
As far as accuracy-wise, I'm going with Tua all day.
So which one would you rather have? The deep ball where you got to scramble around the field to try to go find it? Or do you want that accuracy to hit you right in the bread basket on the run?
I want it to hit me right in the bread basket just like I did in the Buffalo Bills game and take it 70. And the rest is history.
And again, this is not a shot at anybody.
Right.
This is just stuff that had to be said.
It needed to be said.
It needed
so let's
to be said.
I don't think it needed to be said, Tyreek.
And that's
Hill.
Him, by the way. I should have prefaced him, Mahomes versus Tua.
Right. He was asked about the comparison with his new podcast that just launched. I guess they had Drew Rosenhaus on the first episode, and they highlighted some of the issues that the Chiefs had with Tyreek Hill, Hill had with the Chiefs, and his lawyer is the co-host. And his lawyer's like leading him with all sorts of questions so that he can get what's on his mind on this podcast. You're crazy if you're making comparisons between these two. Patrick Mahomes and that Chiefs offense have been historically good. Tua has been benched several times over the course of his career already in the NFL. I mean, there was a time where Ryan Fitzpatrick was seen as a better option for him as the Miami Dolphins quarterback than Tua was. Yeah, it was early on in his career. Tua's accuracy might be good. I doubt that he has the ability to extend plays the way that Patrick Mahomes does.
Well, he doesn't pass it very far either.
No, and we've seen...
So, of course, the accuracy number's up.
A couple of clips that probably shouldn't have gone as viral as they did, but like that one pass of him throwing it downfield, underthrowing it to Tyreek Hill. Hill is right now just trying to spin the decision that he made, which was a decision that was about money, but he is trying to spin it as, I wanted to play with a quarterback who's more accurate, okay? I wanted to be a part of a team where I'm looked at more as the focal point of the team. Okay, you're a wide receiver. You don't want to be on a team where people are talking more about you, the wide receiver, than the quarterback. Because the teams that have the quarterbacks are the ones that actually do anything. You think the Dolphins are going to do something different than they've done in the last 20 years with Tua under center? Does anyone feel that way right now? Could change, of course, over the course of the regular season. But who feels that way right now? Anyone who does is on the drugs.
The Dolphins have gotten a lot of hype this offseason, and I think it may end up being really damaging for them. And I think Mike McDaniel is really funny, and he seems like he has some really interesting press conferences. That doesn't get you wins.
No.
And the second that they start losing, it's going to go from Mike McDaniel is funny, Mike McDaniel is great in the locker room, he's a player's coach. The narrative will not remain that.
No.
The narrative will start to become, he can't lead a locker room.
Who's this nerd?
Exactly. I thought Ross Tucker, who covers the NFL really closely, brought up a good point on Twitter. He says, quote, so the guy who played in four straight AFC title games, Mahomes as his quarterback and Andy Reid as his head coach, a career-high 159 targets, seventh in the NFL, wasn't happy in Kansas City, but is going to be happy in Miami with Tua and a first-time head coach with the bleep you contract? Good luck. Should be an interesting podcast. Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. It's like saying you're not happy with Giselle, and so you're going to go like marry a woman that's a four in L.A.
Ooh, wow. Yeah.
And you're going to be happy with her.
In L.A.,
now,
too.
That woman.
With those gas prices.
Could become a little bit hotter. Maybe you get her a boob job. Maybe you take her to a
Brazilian
dermatologist.
Brazilian butt lift.
Right. Maybe you get her the BBL, but she's never going to be Giselle. So Tyreek left it just makes no sense.
Yeah, and it's funny. I mean, look, I get the idea of living in Miami versus Kansas City because, like, duh. But at the same time, the other things that Miami has, all they have is the fact that they used to be the Miami Dolphins in the 1970s. Like, that's it. I really can't think of many other perks. But maybe if you're Tyreek Hill, you feel the need to do this because you have to have your quarterback's back. I don't think, though, forcing a comparison between two quarterbacks who are nowhere near the same level makes a great deal of sense, just if we're talking about facts here. Oh, he's more accurate. Is Tua more accurate? I don't know. Tua's accuracy is kind of...
He's not playing in as many games. He's not throwing the ball as far yet. Maybe
right.
His percentage of accuracy, even if it's more, that doesn't mean anything.
You know who used to be really accurate? Sam Bradford.
Yeah.
Sam Bradford, I think he had like a 70% completion percentage 1 year. And people were like, wow, this guy's incredible. He was throwing passes like 3 yards downfield. So it's great if you can do that. And honestly, Tyreek Hill would probably do pretty well if he's catching passes 3 yards downfield, given how fast he is and his ability to run after the catch. But anyone can be accurate there. Don't you want the quarterback who is accurate when you're 20 yards downfield on a broken
right.
play, who can turn, like, who can just pull playground stuff out of his you-know-what at any moment during a game? That's Mahomes and Tua.
Patrick Mahomes attempted 76 passes of 20-plus air yards in 2021. Tua attempted 29 such passes. That's per Doug Farrar of the NFL. Now, Tyreek kind of brought this on himself, gentlemen. I'm not going to lie. He recorded this podcast with his lawyer. Somebody that I think is maybe getting unfairly criticized for making a quote-unquote comparison is Davante Adams, because Davante Adams was asked about it specifically by media
conference.
Members, and here's what Davante Adams said.
I mean, it's tough to compare. It's really apples and oranges. Derek, I mean, it's just such a different ball game. I mean, obviously you have Aaron, who's cemented as, you know, one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game. And, you know, that's just like comparing me to like Jerry Rice. You know, it'd be tough to do because Jerry's put together what he's done, and it's undeniable respect for him. And me, I'm still going, and there's still a lot that I got to do to be able to be mentioned with Jerry, and I'm aware of that, and I think Derek is also aware of that, you know, from a big picture. But as far as talent and ability, I mean, it's really similar. If I'm keeping it real,
so he's in a little bit of a tough spot because again, he's asked about it, and
yeah.
He's not only joining Derek Carr on a team, like, they're really good friends. I think that he's been, you and I were talking about this before the show, kind of unfairly criticized, and the headlines are like, Adams says that, you know, Carr is more accurate, blah, blah, blah. And he was kind of roped into that.
The headlines that have come out of it are funny because one headline says comparing Derek Carr to Aaron Rodgers is like comparing apples to oranges, which is the accurate take. But then you hear the entirety of the press conference, you hear the entirety of that clip, and at the back end, people are putting headlines. Aaron Rodgers and Derek Carr on same level per Devontae Adams. So it is kind of funny to see the way that things like this are covered. If you're being asked about one of your friends who is now your quarterback and you are being asked to compare him to the last quarterback, you cannot be honest or truthful in any way, shape, or form if you are saying that these guys are on the same level, on the same playing field. Rodgers is one of the best quarterbacks that we've seen ever. He's definitely one of the best quarterbacks of the last 20 years. No matter what his playoff success might be, this is a guy that we all know as one of the, like, the clearly top five quarterbacks in the game every single year. He's won two MVPs in a row, and he's in his late 30s. So he's crazy to make any comparisons to him, but you're asked the question, and you're somewhat forced to.
And he sounded awkward, by the way.
Of course he did.
He sounded like he didn't want to answer it.
But at the same time, I mean, he went here, and he has a friendly relationship with Derek Carr that has been built up over time, and that's why he wanted to go to Vegas. The difference is with Tyreek Hill and Tua. Like, Tyreek just got to Miami, has no idea what he's talking about, and is just taking all of this out of his ass. Like, he's completely BSing. Where with Adams, he's trying to be political. And I got to say, that was a very polite way of dodging the question. Talent-wise, they're similar. Well, of course they are. They're quarterbacks in the National Football League.
One of 32 starting quarterbacks. Yeah. Two of 32 starting quarterbacks. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Glenn, a little in case you missed it Monday. But first, Paul's going to tell you about Passive Investor Network.
The Passive Investor Network, people. You're looking to invest in something. Why not invest in real estate? Prices go up and up and up and up. And you want some of that action. The Passive Investor Network can get you there with the PIN process. This Saturday, they're going to have a bus tour, and they'll show you how the PIN process works. First off, they go to all sorts of places in town that they believe are on the come up. And these places, they invest in them. And 5, 6, 7 years from now, you'll see some unbelievably beautiful homes that you will have real stake in that you can make money off of. And you want to talk to the entire team over at the Passive Investor Network because they're going to personalize a 5-year plan for you. No matter what your income might be, it's going to be tailored just for you. You think you can't afford this? Well, why not have the conversation? You think this is like a scheme or something like that? Again, have the conversation. Just talk it out. These guys will take the hassle of real estate investing out of your hand and do it for you. PassiveInvestor.net is the website. Again, PassiveInvestor.net. The promo code is ESPN. You can go on that bus tour this coming Saturday for free. Promo code ESPN. PassiveInvestor.net, the Passive Investor Network.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Curry to Green. Back to Curry. Step back. Three-pointer. Bang! Steph Curry drills the three. That's a 6-point Warriors lead. Timeout Boston.
Shut up, Mike.
It was so good that J.J. Redick said that he thinks Steph Curry could win Finals MVP even if the Warriors lose.
I got to say, he should win Finals MVP even if the Warriors lose.
Wade said he needs to be added to the Mount Rushmore, which caused some Twitter controversy. But either way, Steph Curry showing up and showing out in an even bigger way than usual.
We are getting close to Mount Rushmore season as far as sports talk goes. Once the finals are done for both the NBA playoffs and for the NHL playoffs, there we go. Yeah, Curry was amazing on Friday. And I thought at many points during that game that the Celtics had it in hand, but they never had it totally in hand. And I mean, you can't do anything against him. They were throwing all sorts of different defenses at him, and he was splitting them. He was confusing them and throwing them all over the place. There's this one sequence in particular where I remember he was on the right wing, and he's doubled and dribbles to his right, dribbles to his left. One guy fades back to try to help someone down in the post. He basically like split these two defenders, then went back outside the three-point line, only to dribble in, and he shoots this like runner from the elbow with like one hand, this arcing runner, and it just swish. It's perfect. The guy's incredible.
he's one of my favorite players to watch. I get that there's a lot of people that are Rockets fans that hated what he did against them during the 2010s, but I got to say, like, the guy's unbelievable to watch. There's nothing you could do outside of, like, take a baseball bat to his knee or something like that. Surprised Marcus Smart hasn't done that to this point. Marcus Smart was the last guy who stopped him because he accidentally injured him during a regular season game.
My favorite thing is the fact that Dwayne Wade is the one that started the Mount Rushmore conversation. It wasn't even one of the speak for your pizza, as you say, talking head guys on Monday morning. It was, you think Dwayne Wade will?
That's how you create the media game? That's how you create the runway. Well, he's been on Inside the NBA before a couple of times, so it's not like he hasn't actually been pretty good as a basketball broadcaster before.
True. All right, in case you missed it, Monday continues as we roll along. To the Big 12 in 2023. That was confirmed. Here's Kelvin Sampson, a man who's been very successful on joining the Big 12.
That's why I think it's great for our athletic department. Does for us just, you know, financially, you know, we've worked so hard to get what we have, but we probably have done more with less than anybody in the country. I'm looking forward to the competition. The problem with playing in the Big 12 in basketball is that everybody in that conference can make the Sweet 16. The fans, everybody's excited. I don't know how excited I am about that.
I heard him, and I mean, you could hear it throughout that clip, the lack of energy in his voice. He seems pissed to be in the Big 12.
He, I think, recognizes that it's important for the school for growth, but I will say this. So I covered when I worked for one of the local news stations in town, I covered when this news broke. And when I interviewed Kelvin Sampson, his exact words were, make no mistake, this is a football move. It's not about us. It's not about baseball. This is money. This is football. He's not wrong.
Nope.
So his path to the Final Four, I would say, is much easier in the American Athletic Conference. But that's one program I'm not worried about. He always produces. He always gets good recruits in.
They will, I think, now be more battle-tested come NCAA tournament. Now, Maybe they get ground down, guys get injured a little bit more because they're playing in a basketball conference that's clearly better. I mean, Baylor is unbelievably, I think, just physical program, and I enjoy watching them play, even if I'm not the biggest fan of some Baylor fans. They will be, I think, a lot more tested come tournament time. Because I think that there have been some games where you've seen them, and, you know, when they play out of conference, okay, they're going to play some good teams. But when you're in that AAC, you're not playing many good teams on a regular basis. So I do think that while it's maybe going to affect their seeding, I think that the Cougs could be a lot more, I guess, ready to go up against the big boys come tournament time if you are going up against the likes of Kansas and Baylor and all these other great teams in the Big 12. It's the best right now, conference in college basketball.
It's good for football, too. And Dana Holgorsen, that will be his new reality. He's been able to lead the Cougs on a tear last season. Here's Dana Holgorsen on joining the Big 12.
Well, it's a great day for the University of Houston. I'm not going to deny that or downplay it. This has been a goal of the universities for over three decades. It's a testament to the leadership that we have here at the University of Houston, obviously. Renew Couture has been here for 15 years working on this, and Telman Fertitta's leadership and Chris Pesman's relentless effort towards trying to make this happen is pretty awesome, pretty special for the university in general.
I said this Friday, I'll say it again now, the idea of UH going up against UT, who I generally lean with when it comes to college football matches, delights me because of the chaos that could ensue. Of all of the trash talking that UH fans would do if they beat UT. If that happens, it's going to be bloody on those internet streets. And it already has been. You heard this a lot, probably, if you're a UT fan, from anyone you know who might have gone to UH. You're probably hearing them say, like, oh, you guys are scared. You guys are running from us, from the Big 12 to the SEC. No, they're actually trying to get more money. But I want to see UH versus UT so badly. And I don't think it's going to go very well for UT in the near future, at least as long as Steve Sarkisian, which was just an underwhelming hire to begin with when they brought him in. I don't think it's going to go well for them.
Meanwhile, Washington Commanders defensive coordinator Jack Del Rio deleted his Twitter. He had made controversial comments about the events on January 6th in relation to George Floyd.
He called it a little dust up. And then
he called it a dust up when there was a police officer that was killed and all of that. And then it kind of grew from there. Here's what I found interesting. It wasn't the Commanders that fined Jack Del Rio $100,000. It was head coach Ron Rivera, and I'm only going to read part of the statement because it's way too long, but it says, "This morning I met with Coach Del Rio to express how disappointed I am. His comments do not reflect the organization. What happened on January 6th was an act of domestic terrorism." Ron Rivera goes on and on. "After reflecting on the situation and circumstances, I have decided to fine Coach Del Rio $100,000, which the team will donate to the United States Capitol Police Memorial Fund." One of those police officers, of course, was killed on January 6th.
Yeah, but look, it was dumb to say dust up. But at the same time, being fined $100,000 by your coach for the totality of said comments, which also made reference to, you know, some of these protests that were taking place that were getting really violent. There's not really a whole lot of conversation about them. And if you were to say that, like, they were more than a dust up or something like that, I don't know. It could be viewed through a different lens. So I think there's a little bit of hypocrisy on that front. It has been funny to see all of the reaction that comes from this. I know, I think Tucker Carlson called Ron Rivera, a fascist moron head coach. What's up with that?
I found it weird that
this is the United States of America and the NFL.
You know what was weird is that, and I understand that since they're in Washington, that in that area, that they're going to get asked about those things. Freedom of speech. Everybody has the right to say what they want to say. I don't know why the Washington Commanders defensive coordinator was talking about this to begin with, but it is one of those moments where you're like, all right, in the future.
If you're a public figure and you're going to put out a hot take, you better be damn careful.
And you better be ready. You better be ready for whatever flack. I thought it was weird that it was Ron Rivera that fined him. Was that a PR move?
Look, I think it's the Washington Commanders are begging for money from local D.C. politicians. They want a new stadium. And they're trying to make themselves look as rosy clean as they can. The problem is they are Andy Dufresne that has just emerged from a sewer after crawling through a mile worth of poop. Like they're so stinky right now. There's nothing they can do. This is just a cherry on top.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we recap the Astros weekend, plus an unexpected team that apparently was really cocky. And guess who won the infamous fantasy football league? That's next.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.